Thank you. Welcome to worship on this Memorial Day weekend. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Upon healing a lame man, the people declare Paul and Barnabas as gods, but Paul shouts to the people, "We are only human," and bring the good news to you, to to fill your hearts with joy. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In Lystra, there was a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed and called out, "Stand on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in Lysonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus. Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops in their own season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 67. Found on bulletin page 4. Let us read it together. May God be merciful to us and bless us. Show us the light of his countenance and come to us. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has brought forth her increase. May God, our own God, give his blessing. May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him. In the holy city, God is the source of all. This is true even today. God is the light, the place of worship, the origin of nourishment, the font of wisdom. A reading from Revelation to John. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun nor the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
I'm reading from John 14, starting at verse 23. This is Jesus speaking in preparation to the disciples for his death and his resurrection. And he's talking about that he will soon be leaving them and wants them to know that he's not leaving them alone. He's not leaving them as orphans. But at this point, they cannot understand it. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give it to you." And here's the center of what I would like you to hear. "Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, 'I go away, and I will come to you.' If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of our Lord.
Christ, ever lasting, Lord of our soul, of the virgin,
Ladies and gentlemen, please park it. Glad you could be here this morning. On this day, I want to take you back into the gospel I just shared and deal with one specific nugget of what Jesus said. Thinking about change, about uncertainty in your life, he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And I want to speak about that concept of fearful. We live in very uneasy times. We can't say with certainty what is going to be happening internationally. But Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." If I walk down the aisle and asked each of you, "What are you afraid of?" you would each come up with something. Might be financial, might be relationship, might be being alone, it might be disappointment, might be pain, might be death and the unknown. But we're fearful of certain things. And it's a basic human emotion. But the Bible says hundreds of times, "Fear not." But yet we struggle with that. And I want to take you back to the Garden of Eden. In the first chapter, verse 26, it says, "Let us make man in our image." Now this verse, of course, is the first glimpse of the possibility of the Trinity that much later is clarified. But "let us make man in our image." From the very beginning, we were made in God's image. And then the devil comes and brings the issue of deception onto the world that ultimately leads to fearfulness. Fear in a fallen world can be described as false evidence appearing real. Things look fearful, they look dreadful, but that's not the case because we are created in God's image. And to me, that's just an incredible reality that we deal with. In the book of Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." Fear can be debilitating. I mean, you have all experienced it. As I have gone through the last week of continuing my move, the sale hasn't been finalized, but the house has been in many ways emptied, taking a trip each day with much more coming this week. And then on top of that, this week, I had to take my brother to the hospital, was there for the day. Eventually, he will be scheduled for surgery. It turns out it was a gallbladder issue, but it was rather disruptive of my schedule. And that's how life is. And a part of what Jesus says is, don't be disheartened, don't be fearful. Difficult, challenging things happen in our lives. We all go through it. But we need to remember, in the garden, we were created in God's image. We are, you have to be careful how you say this, but in effect you can say, we are godlike. We were created to exercise stewardship over all creation. That is a part of our role. And so, for the devil to imply that you'll be like God, we already were. So there was deception that crept in. And I want to talk about what fear does in our lives by giving you three brief examples: myself, Gideon, and David. Since I was a boy, I had been, even though I was born in Denmark, we were at the ocean regularly, I was afraid of water. I couldn't swim. I didn't want to learn how to swim. I would rather just stay on the beach and ignore the water. And that was really true until the age of 30, when I came to know the Lord in a personal way, and I decided I wanted to make some concrete changes. And so I took lessons at the Y in Columbus, where I was in a class with preschoolers who were called polywogs. So Polly was in the water with polywogs. But I learned to swim. I learned not to be afraid of water. And then at the same time, I wanted to also rebuild discipline in my life in another area. When I was in high school, I ran cross country. I loved it. hadn't exercised through college, through seminary, through the first church. And so I began to do that again. And one Christmas after the festivities, I said to the Lord, I want to begin to learn to run again. And so I started out, it was winter, I bundled up. I decided I'm going to jog around the block, which was maybe a quarter mile. And I got about five houses up the street, and I was winded. And so I said, okay, I need to work at this. And I set a goal that by June I would run in a 10K race in Columbus, and I did that. But it happened by taking shorter strides, by learning to work up slowly to what would be appropriate and healthy. And sometimes that's how we deal with fear. Lord, I don't understand what's happening, but I believe you. I'm created in your image. I believe that you have a purpose and a destiny for my life, no matter what's going through my life right now. And so I trust you. And even though when I was working on jogging again, I took slow steps, I got winded, then I took longer strides, and slowly was able to work back into a rhythm that I remembered from high school. Sometimes fear is like that, dealing with it. Gideon, the second example, was told by an angel that he was a valiant warrior. And Gideon said, I'm the least in my father's house, which means I'm the youngest kid, and we come from a small tribe. Who do you think I am? And you go back to the Garden of Eden, you were created in God's image. You were made to deal with the environment. You were made to exercise stewardship over everything that you see. The angel called him valiant warrior. The Lord is with you. And what began to happen, Gideon looked at his circumstances. He looked at himself and understood that he wasn't much. But then he began to understand that he was much more than he could understand. And he was able to serve as a judge and a warrior leader for Israel and brought freedom to them. It was an amazing thing. He began to see himself, in my understanding, as God created him with meaning, purpose, and significance. And he was able to do great things for the people. Then think about David when he went up against Goliath. The whole Israelite army looked at Goliath. He was maybe 9 feet tall. And the concept in that day was that a champion from each army would fight, and that would determine the outcome for the whole battle. And none of Israel wanted to face him. But David came, who understood who he was in God, and said, don't you realize that he's coming against the army of the Lord God? He can't win. And so he, with his slingshot, approached the giant and was successful. Because at a deeper level, David knew who he was in God's image. He understood that concept that I'm made in God's image. I was made to rule. I was not made to be subservient to other masters other than the Lord. He brought great victory to the people of Israel. Back again to the Garden of Eden. Like Adam and Eve, we often hide and cover ourselves. We don't want people to see. Because of fear, we live in bondage rather than in liberty and freedom. Think about, you may not have children or grandchildren currently in your life, but think about why children lie. They are covering up. I don't want you to see what I did, who I am. In part because I'm ashamed, in part because I don't want to deal with the consequences of what I did. In the garden was the birth of fear because of deception. In our day, fear is still a result of the fall, not just a response to disobedience. Fear didn't just emerge because of disobedience, it was because of the infection from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here's how I simplistically understand that. The Lord had said, you can have everything, but don't eat from that. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil gave them, as it were, a mirror in which they saw themselves. Prior to that time, they were innocent. Now they understood, here is a system by which I can judge myself when they were supposed to be free in the Lord. Now they began to apply rules to themselves, knowing the knowledge of good and evil. The devil said, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God. They already were like God. It's an incredible thing. Think of teenagers looking in a mirror. It's such fun when grandkids have been at my house and they walk by the mirror. They're judging themselves by what they see rather than by who they are. They're created in God's image, but they're judging themselves by who they are. One of the things that to me is so important is that we need to remember that we are much more than we see. We're not to compare. When I was in junior high, I can remember very clearly there came a point. In elementary school, this was not an issue. In junior high, I began to look at myself and compare myself to other guys. I wasn't as athletic. I wasn't as handsome. I wasn't as comfortable with girls as him or him or him. And I began to forget what my parents used to say and what I would later learn from God, that I'm created in the Lord's image. I have significance and purpose and a destiny. And that's in part what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. It was a mirror that was not God's word. It was a reflection of what you know and what you can see. If you remember in the garden, you can imply that the Lord would come and walk in the cool of the evening, of the day, with Adam and Eve. After the original sin, they couldn't see him. They heard his voice. Distance was already happening. And that leads to suspicion. That leads to dread. And it took Jesus to come to live and die and be resurrected to bring us back to that place where this is the Lord. This is who I always have been, a God of love and mercy. Jesus restored us to a Father who had never left us. So we want to quit looking at ourselves and look at him. I have told you about my issues with the move this week, and that will go on for a couple more weeks. And a part of what gives me relative peace is I believe that we did this, put the house up for sale at the intervention or the suggestion of the Lord that this would be a good thing. So when little issues come up, I keep telling myself, I believe the Lord told me to do this, so it'll work out. And to me, that's how we deal with our lives. Sometimes we deal with loss, with uncertainty. How will this work? Remember, you're created in God's image. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Don't be distraught, in one translation. Don't be fearful. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Coming into God's presence causes the fears to drift away. That's why it's so important to be in fellowship, to be in daily time in God's word, because it causes those fears and uncertainties to diminish and slip away. Okay, so in conclusion, and there will be four conclusions, so be patient. No. I want to give you four principles that can help us move from fear to faith, moving from that place of uncertainty to that place of being seated in heavenly places with the Lord. And the first one is that faith, believing who I am in the Lord, focuses on God, not on my problems. We all have problems. We all have challenges. But faith focuses on who the Lord is, not on my circumstances. Secondly, faith trusts in God's timing for my life, not my own. When things happen that seem out of sequence, we trust in God's timing, not our own. When Finn's wife died late last year, we talked about that. This seems at an odd time, an odd way that she's dying now. But it's in God's timing. It's not our own. So we trust in him rather than in what we can see from the knowledge of good and evil. And third, faith grows by believing in God in spite of what we see. I am uncomfortable. I feel somewhat hemmed in by what's in my life right now. But I believe the Lord, so therefore I'm going to trust that He is in this regardless of what my feelings are today. And finally, faith obeys God one step at a time. Remember when I told you about going back to jogging from my cross-country running days, that it took a while to go from 6 houses to 10 houses to 1/4 mile to 2 miles. But it began one step at a time, small steps, then strides, then a comfort level, then it becomes an exhilarating, energizing thing. And that's how obeying God is. God, I don't know what you have in store for my life, but I know what your word says, and I'm going to do what it says in spite of the impact on my life. And that causes strength and deepening in our walk. So, dealing with fear, going to faith. Faith focuses on God. Faith trusts in God's timing. Faith grows in our lives by believing in God, and faith obeys God one step at a time. I don't have to understand it all, but I believe that ultimately God weaves an unseen pattern that one day will lead us to that place that Jesus went to prepare for us. And so we walk step by step. Whether you're thinking as an individual, as a family member, as a church, faith drives away fear. We come to the Lord and our fears diminish. So I encourage you, for your own life, for your family, for your ministry at Advent, that you practice that, that you speak life, knowing that you are here intentionally by God's plan and purpose, not accidentally. Let's continue our service now as we stand and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning's prayers of the people are Form 6, found on page 6 of your bulletin. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone, for this community, the nation, and the world, for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, for the just and proper use of your creation, for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression, for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble, for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy, for the peace and unity of the Church of God, all who proclaim the gospel, and all who seek the truth. For Archbishop Welby, for our presiding bishop, Creary, for our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for Pastor Paul, and for all bishops and other ministers, for all who serve God in his church, for the special needs and concerns of this congregation, we especially lift up all those on our prayer list and our intercession prayer list, and we ask that you pray for them throughout the week. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King, and praise your name forever and ever. We pray for all who have died, that they may find a place in your eternal kingdom. And we especially pause and lift up all those who have given their lives, all the men and women, for our freedom and for our country in their service. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Put their trust in you.
Join me. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most. In your compassion, forgive our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Be steady.
That's great.
Good morning. If Dick McCormick were here today, he'd tell you to look at the letter that he had sent to our presiding bishop, Curry. It's in the bulletin. You can read that. I think he did an excellent job of explaining our position with Bishop Love. We'll see what happens, see if there's any response from Bishop Curry to Bishop Love. In adventures, in your blue sheet, we had a slight mishap with water out by the road, so Tuesday, the city is going to shut off the water to the building. Hopefully, the plumbers will be able to do their thing and get that main service back on, and then the city can turn the water on. So if you're here Tuesday, there may be a time there's no water in the church. It's not because we didn't pay our bill. Landscaping, there's still time. If you want a little piece of plot around the church to take care of, see John Urbis or myself, and we'll fix you right up. We're still locking the doors about 10, 15 minutes after the service, trying that to see how it goes. No Bible study today. Dick's in China. He'll be back next week, and we'll continue with the church in Babylon. And one last item, I have two items over in the hall, a TV and an old grill. If anybody wants those, please speak up. We can donate those and get them out of the hall. Jason's trying to organize his closet back there. I think that's it, Peter.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of things. Dara's invited you to join us for the offertory, which is My Country Tis of Thee, which is 717 in your hymnals. So if you'd like to join us when we do the offertory, that would be wonderful. Secondly, there are two clipboards that will be passed around with regards to Father's Day. One is to get an idea of what you guys would like for Father's Day, and secondly, on the second page, is how many of you are going to show up. So, with that in mind, I have bad news. We will not be having lobster and tomahawk steaks. Unfortunately, my budget won't allow it. But the other things are always possible. So, if you want to be creative, do so. We just have to be careful of what COA can do with the grill, which will be amazing anyhow. So the last thing
eggs,
is...
Eggs, bacon, and hash browns?
Yes, Ray, that's on the list.
Or what about ribeye steaks made out of hot dogs?
No.
Oh.
I have a limited budget. So much my wallet and my wife will allow me. Which is mostly my wife. Lastly, I'd like to get a general idea of how many people would be interested in going to one of the Lake Erie Crusher games this summer. You can give me a show of hands. The minimum number that they ask for is 18 to get the group rate. So if you want to talk to your relatives and friends and see if they'd be interested and let me know in the next week or so, then I will go and see about ordering some tickets. Other than that, I'm done.
With that, peace of the Lord be with you.
We continue our service by presenting our offerings to the Lord.
Lord, my Father.
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very paschal lamb who was sacrificed for us and hath taken away the sin of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. And we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now let's join together and pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive. Please join with me in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Folks, enjoy the blessing of this tremendous weekend as you go in peace and serve the Lord.